Grace Point, I am so excited to begin a new summer series with you today. As we dive in, I want to just ask you a quick question. Have you ever experienced a situation that caught you completely off guard, messed with your expectations, and left you just sort of shaking your head, wondering what was coming next? Now, I know some of you are saying, Wes, have you been living in a cave somewhere? You've just described what life has been like on this whole planet for the last 3 months. We didn't expect a pandemic. We didn't expect a crisis. We didn't expect unemployment. We didn't expect staying at home constantly. We didn't expect a toilet paper shortage. And we can go on and on with things we didn't expect over the last 3 months. And now, even though things are beginning to open up a bit, things are still changing so rapidly that many of us have no idea what to really expect in the future. Some folks I know are so frustrated, they're just sort of throwing up their hands. And they're saying, I don't know who to believe or what to believe. Everything is so messed up. I don't even know what to expect out of life anymore. Friends, I want to let you know that there is good news for everyone who has ever been surprised by the unexpected. There is truth we can believe in. There is a God that can be trusted. There is still hope for tomorrow. We're going to be spending our summer worship experiences, both online and in person, finding out good news right in the middle of the unexpected. So we're going to do this by walking through the book of Mark. It's a book that was written specifically for people who were living in the unexpected moment of life. And the title of our series is simply this: Unexpected, the Gospel of Mark, and the Good News You Didn't See Coming. The words of this book, as you might have imagined, are written by a man named Mark. And this Mark was a ministry partner of the disciple Peter. So most historians believe that this really is Peter's eyewitness account of Jesus Christ, and it's written down by Mark. These words were penned about 30 to 35 years after Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, probably between 65 and 70 AD, a very turbulent time in history. Christ followers were facing intense persecution at this time, and many of them just felt like the whole world was coming apart at the seams. During this time, there had been a Jewish rebellion in Jerusalem against Roman tyranny, and that rebellion had been crushed by the Roman army. Historian Tacitus gravely described this chaotic period of history in these words. He said, "The history on which I am entering is that of a period rich in disasters, terrible with battles, torn by civil struggles, horrible even in peace." These were uncertain times. They were chaotic days. People were wondering what was coming next. They didn't know what to expect because everything seemed so messed up. And when we look at our world today, it seems like an accurate description of this moment. Our world seems really messed up. We're not sure what to expect because it seems like for the last several months, all we've received is the unexpected. So to everyone living in unexpected moments, Peter and Mark, they share some powerful words. And if you have a Bible or you open your Bible app to Mark chapter 1, verse 1, to everyone unexpected, enter these words. Here's what Peter and Mark say. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Look at it one more time. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Now let's just zero in on a few of those phrases. Good news about Jesus the Messiah. to every Jewish reader, they were saying, you know the prophecies about a Messiah coming. You've been thinking about this. You've been praying about this. And they say, I want to tell you that Jesus is the Messiah that you are hoping for. He's not what you expected, but he truly is the Messiah. They add another phrase. They say, this is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And every Roman reader knew that emperors in that time period often referred to themselves as sons of gods. And Mark says, to all of you Roman readers, Jesus truly is the Son of God. He is not what you expected. He doesn't look or act like any Roman emperor, but he truly is the Son of God. The entire book of Mark in the New Testament is about helping people wrestle with the reasons they can believe Jesus is the Messiah and that Jesus is the Son of God and that this is good news, even if you're living in unexpected, chaotic, turbulent times. When we look around at our world today, I think there are a lot of people who are approaching times of uncertainty and questions about God in the same way as Mark's original audience. Think about this for a moment. The Jewish people expected a Messiah. They knew all of the prophecies. They'd memorized them. They'd been praying for a Messiah. And even though it seemed like God had been silent for 400 years, they were still hoping, they were still praying, they were still longing for God to fulfill the promise of a Messiah. But they were completely unprepared for Jesus to be the Messiah. You see, they had certain expectations, and Jesus completely blew apart all of their ideas about what the Messiah would be like. And we are often the same way when we think about God in our lives. We think, well, if God is good, then he will do this a certain way in my life. Or if God really cares, then he'll do this. Or if God loves me, then this will happen. Or if God is truly a God who loves justice, then this is going to occur. Or if God is really good, if God is really real, then he will do certain things and prevent certain problems and bless me in very specific ways. But friends, we discover in our lives, just like the Jewish people and the Roman people to whom Mark and Peter are writing, God often shows up in very unexpected ways, in ways that we never thought possible, and in a manner that doesn't usually fit our template. The Jewish people, they expected a Messiah. But Jesus came as a Messiah with an unexpected mission. An unexpected mission. They were expecting a Jewish Messiah that would overthrow Rome and restore Israel to its former glory. I mean, they expected a Messiah that would rule from a throne in Jerusalem like David or Solomon or Hezekiah. That was, they believed, the mission of the Messiah. And instead, Jesus shows up with the mission of restoring relationships. Restoring relationships. Jesus came to restore relationships between God and humanity. He came to restore the relationship that God had intended to have with every person when he created man and woman in the Garden of Eden. It was a relationship that had been hijacked by our desire to do things our own way. The scripture calls that sin. And Jesus came to break down the wall of sin that separates us from God. And once we're in right relationship with God, our Creator, then we can begin to work on being in right relationship with each other. We're told in Scripture that part of God's work in our life is that the wall of hostility that separates people groups is broken down when God is truly at work in our lives and our hearts are open to Him. This amazing mission of restoring relationships is what the book of Mark is all about. And we're going to see examples of that as we walk through this amazing book of Scripture throughout the summer. Jesus shows up with an unexpected mission. And even though the Jewish people are expecting him, he also shows up with an unexpected message. The message that they expected was a message that would be an affirmation of all of the Old Testament laws and regulations. And instead, we are told that Jesus came full of grace and truth. He told them that the position of their heart was much more important than following the rule of the law, and that absolutely blew their minds. And we're going to talk a lot more about that next week, so I hope you'll tune in next week. Jesus continued to do the unexpected by having an unexpected method. They thought that the Messiah would come as a political powerhouse or a military genius. And instead, Jesus says words like, "I came to serve, not to be served." Jesus said, "My method is going to be sacrifice and serving." And the Israelite people, they were not accustomed to a leader like that. And the Romans, they were accustomed to emperors who demanded to be treated as gods, and they couldn't imagine a leader who actually was all about serving and sacrifice. It blew every idea of leadership they had. Jesus' mission, message, and methods were unexpected. But Peter and Mark say, you can still believe. There's proof that Jesus truly is the promised Messiah, the promised Savior. There's proof that Jesus truly is the Son of God. And Peter and Mark say, this is true, and it is good news for every person in every season of life. Even those moments when the unexpected rattles our world and shakes our faith, we can stand firm on this good news about a Messiah, a Savior, Son of God, named Jesus, who came with an unexpected message and mission and methods, but we can believe in Him. And that holds us steady when the unexpected happens in our lives. When you consider these opening words of Scripture that Peter and Mark want us to think about, the implications that they have for our lives, our time of living in the unexpected, are really significant. I want to just mention two of them very quickly to you. I think as we consider these words of Mark and Peter, as we put them into the context of history, we discover that God is at work even when He appears to be unplugged from history. We already talked about the people waiting for a Messiah, waiting for a Savior, and they had been waiting so long they could not even begin to imagine what God could possibly be doing. Many of them in that time frame, they thought that they had sinned so badly that God could no longer love them. What they had done had put them beyond God's reach. Or others thought that God could no longer be trusted because He was allowing difficult things to happen in their lives. They were facing the consequences of their sinful choices and behavior, but they thought God certainly can't be trusted now because these bad things are happening. But we can see, from our perspective today, we can see what they could not. That even during all of those years, God was still at work. And He was bringing all of the pieces of history together to create the perfect environment for Jesus to enter the world full of grace and truth. Even though God seemed to be unplugged, He was still at work. We need to be reminded of this today. I need to be reminded of this. Sometimes we face frustration, unexpected situations, and we begin to think that maybe God has given up on us, or maybe God has given up on the world. We wonder, how could God possibly bring good out of, this crazy pandemic that's gone on? Or how could God bring any healing out of the tensions and division and injustice that are in the spotlight right now? From our vantage point today, we struggle to understand how God could possibly be at work in the middle of the mess. But history tells us, and even our own lives tell us, that God is still at work, even when we feel like He's disconnected and unplugged. Henry Nouwen, a great Christian author, wrote these words. He said, "Hope is not dependent on peace in the land, justice in the world, or success in business. Hope is dependent on God's guiding hand, not only in the gentle and pleasant moments, but also in the shadows of disappointment and darkness." History tells us that God is guiding even in the times of disappointment and darkness. Joseph, an Old Testament man who experienced some of the lowest lows anyone could ever experience, ends on some of the highest highs. Joseph looked at his life in the rearview mirror and he said, "What Satan intended for evil, God was able to use for good." God was at work, even when it looked like He was unplugged. Paul reminded us in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, he reminded us that God is always at work in all things for the good of those who love Him and who are called by Him. Friend, I would like to remind you today that whatever's going on in your life, whatever's going on in our world, however messy it is, God is at work, and He can be trusted with all that you are, all of your hopes, all of your dreams, all of your failures, all of your sin. God can be trusted with who you are if you'll just open your heart to Him. Don't be discouraged, and don't wonder if God is unplugged. He is not. He is at work, even if it seems like it's behind the scenes. There's another very personal truth that you and I need to grab out of the opening words of this little book of Mark. And it's simply this. In light of what we see from the Jewish people and their preconceived ideas of the Messiah, and for many of them, the rejection of Jesus as the Messiah, we see this. It is possible to have so many preconceived ideas about what God is supposed to do that we actually miss what He is doing. Many people, they missed the good news of Jesus because He simply didn't fit into the box that they thought the Messiah would fit into. Jesus didn't fit into the Son of God box that they had in their mind. I really like some of the words of a professor, David Garland, who said, "The shock that the crucified Jesus is the Messiah, God's Son, makes clear that God cannot and will not be confined by finite human expectations." The writer says, "This is the same God who made the platypus, a mammal so unmammal-like that expert scientists declared it a hoax when it was first sent to the British Museum." And the religious experts of Jesus' day, they rejected Jesus because He did not fit any of their preconceived notions of what the Jewish Messiah would be or do. And we often function the same way in our lives today. We want a Jesus, a Savior, a God who does our bidding, who wins all of our wars and destroys all of our enemies and makes us look really good. We want a Messiah who helps us when we want help and just kind of leaves us alone when we want to do our own thing. We want a Messiah who is willing to bend His will to ours and to serve us rather than all of humankind. Instead, Jesus says, "I love you. I want the best for you. I want to forgive you. I want to give you life to the fullest. And the way I work in your life will not fit into the template that you probably have in place. It will not fit into your preconceived ideas about what I should be like. And Jesus asks us, will you be willing to open your heart to me even though I don't fit into your preconceived ideas? In these moments where we are facing the unexpected again, I wonder if you are willing to say, where is God at work in the middle of this in my life? And even though this isn't how I want God to work or how I would act if I were God, I'm willing to open my heart and open my eyes. And I'm willing to see that God might be making some things possible in my life, in my family, in our world right now that I would have never thought possible 3 months ago. Could I ask you, if you open your eyes to the fact that God is working in the middle of our mess, what might God be making possible in your life and in your faith during this time? What might God be making possible in your family right now? What might God be allowing you to do in terms of resetting and reordering some priorities in your life? What are the new opportunities that are ahead of you because of what God is doing in the middle of this mess? So as we think about putting this truth into our hearts and into our lives this week, I'm praying that God will help me and help you say, God, I trust you are at work. Even though I may not be able to see it right at this moment from my vantage point, I trust that you are at work. And I am open to whatever you want to do in my life, even if it doesn't fit the template I have for you and me. God, I'm open to whatever you want to do. I'm praying that you and I can live with those thoughts in view this week. And I believe if we do, God will do some amazing things in our hearts and in our lives. Would you pray with me? God, as we think about your word today, we are reminded that people throughout history have faced unexpected moments. And you have shown up in those unexpected moments, and you have worked in ways that were unexpected. And God, I pray that you would help us to be reminded today that even though you came with an unexpected mission and an unexpected message and unexpected methods, you truly are the Messiah, and you've proved it over and over again. And God, may we be willing to trust you in our unexpected moments today. May we be willing to open our hearts to what you are doing. And God, may we be willing to say, God, even though I don't fully understand, I still trust you and I am open to what you want to do in my life today. God, for some of us, we need to open our hearts to you for the very first time. And I pray that you would help us be courageous enough to make that decision today. For some of us, we need to be willing to trust you even though we don't fully understand what you're doing. God, help us to come to that point where we are willing to trust your guiding hand, as Henry Nouwen said, whether we are experiencing good times or whether we are experiencing disappointment. God, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives in this moment today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.